At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The truth is out there, and it's a lot darker than you think. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Today we dive into the chilling events unfolding on the second day of Richard Allen's murder trial. It's a day that will be etched in the minds of many, where stories from those who searched the woods around Monon High Bridge come to life in devastating detail. This is a case that has haunted the town of Delphi for 7 long years, and now, as the courtroom doors open, secrets once buried are beginning to surface. Imagine being among the first to realize that 2 teenage girls had vanished, hearts racing, flashlights cutting through darkness, and hope dwindling with every passing hour. Witnesses testified not just to what they saw, but how their lives changed in those agonizing moments. And the question looms: is Richard Allen truly responsible, or has the system pinned the blame on the wrong man? What drives someone to commit such an unthinkable act? And if Allen is guilty, what dark forces were at play that day along Deer Creek? Join me as we unravel the testimony, explore the evidence, and walk the delicate line between heartbreak and justice. The second day of Richard Allen's trial brought the courtroom face to face with a wave of emotional testimony. 3 key witnesses took the stand, each reliving the moments leading up to the discovery of Abby Williams and Libby German's bodies on February 14, 2017, near the Monon High Bridge in Delphi, Indiana. These testimonies not only revealed new information, but also added layers of emotional depth to a case that has captured the nation's attention for 7 years. Former Delphi Police Chief Steve Mullen was the first witness of the day, recounting the events of February 13, 2017, when the 2 teenage girls went missing. Mullen described it as an otherwise ordinary day, until the call came in that 2 girls were unaccounted for. "At first, I thought they were just lost," Mullen testified. "We didn't believe anything sinister had happened. It was still early." As search efforts ended late that night without success, the gravity of the situation had yet to fully set in. The search resumed early the next morning. Mullen coordinated volunteers from a makeshift command post at the local fire station, giving them instructions and assigning search areas. He gave a particularly telling piece of testimony when he mentioned that initial search efforts focused downstream along Deer Creek, believing the girls might have wandered toward the water. This small but critical decision would later play into the prosecution's theory about how Richard Allen allegedly used the terrain to his advantage. The courtroom grew tense as Jake Johns, a lifelong Delphi resident and searcher, took the stand next. Johns described in detail how he and a colleague methodically searched the southern bank of Deer Creek, just downstream from the bridge. After hours of combing the cold, barren February landscape, Johns stumbled upon a piece of brightly colored fabric entangled in a branch near the water. "It was Libby's tie-dye shirt," he said solemnly, adding that at the time he didn't yet grasp the shirt's significance. He flagged down a firefighter who then discovered a pair of Nike shoes further along the creek. The prosecution's case hinges heavily on such discoveries, painting a picture of the two girls being led from the Monon High Bridge down the hill to the creek. Prosecutor Nicholas McClelland emphasized that these small clues, like the tie-dye shirt, corroborate the timeline that places Allen at the scene. The theory suggests that Allen, allegedly armed with a gun, forced the girls down to the water's edge where the tragic encounter unfolded. But it was the next witness, Pat Brown, who delivered the day's most haunting testimony. A close friend of Libby German's grandfather, Brown had joined the search early on February 14th after learning of the girls' disappearance. His voice trembled as he recalled the harrowing moment he found the bodies. "At first, I thought they were mannequins," Brown said, his words punctuated by emotion. He described how he stood just 5 feet away from the lifeless bodies, frozen in disbelief before finally mustering the strength to call police. "I turned around and yelled, 'We found them!'" The courtroom fell silent as Brown struggled to continue his testimony. He described how the bodies were positioned on dry land near the creek, hidden from view unless one approached closely. According to the prosecution, Libby was found unclothed and covered in blood, while Abby wore some of Libby's clothing, a chilling detail that prosecutors allege demonstrates Allen's involvement in manipulating the scene. The defense, however, hinted that this arrangement could suggest someone else was involved, someone with a deeper motive or connection to the victims. Brown's testimony was punctuated by a series of questions from the jury, who seemed particularly focused on the timeline. "How long did it take for the police to arrive after you found the bodies?" one juror asked. Brown estimated that officers arrived within 5 minutes of his call, an impressively quick response that has become a focal point in the prosecution's narrative. The defense team, led by attorney Andrew Baldwin, pushed back on several aspects of the prosecution's case during cross-examination. Baldwin highlighted inconsistencies in the timeline and introduced the possibility that another individual may have tampered with the girls' belongings after Allen had allegedly left the area. "The girls' phone connected to a tower after Allen was already home," Baldwin told the jury, suggesting that someone else handled their phone. He also drew attention to the forensic evidence, or lack thereof. "A strand of hair found in Abby's hand," Baldwin emphasized, "was confirmed to belong to a female relative of Libby's, not Allen." These discrepancies form the crux of the defense's strategy, raise reasonable doubt by questioning the reliability of the timeline and forensic evidence. Baldwin painted Allen as an innocent man ensnared in a flawed investigation. "The system failed Richard Allen," he asserted, reminding the jury that the state bears the burden of proof. The emotional weight of the day's testimonies was palpable. Family members of Abby and Libby sat in the courtroom, visibly affected by Brown's account of finding the bodies. Becky Patty, Libby's grandmother, leaned forward in her chair, holding back tears, while Libby's sister, Kelsey Seibert, bit her lower lip, her face tight with emotion. The day concluded with Judge Francis Gull excusing the jury for the weekend, signaling that the trial's pace will not let up in the coming week. "The next witness will take some time," Judge Gull warned, preparing the jurors for what lies ahead. As the jurors filed out of the courtroom, the weight of the trial's stakes seemed to hang in the air. "The community of Delphi has waited 7 years for this moment, years marked by grief, frustration, and unanswered questions. The testimonies from searchers like Johns and Brown bring the events of that February day into sharp focus, providing vivid and heartbreaking glimpses of the tragedy. Yet, the trial is far from over. With each new revelation, the case against Richard Allen grows both clearer and more complicated. The defense's narrative of a botched investigation raises unsettling possibilities, leaving the jury with a daunting task to sift through a mountain of evidence, emotions, and testimony to determine whether Allen is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And so, the trial will resume Monday, with more witnesses, more questions, and the same unresolved tension. Is Richard Allen the monster behind the Delphi murders, or has the truth remained hidden all these years? The Delphi murders, officially known as the case of Abby Williams and Libby German, have haunted the small town of Delphi, Indiana, since February 13, 2017. What began as a carefree hike along the Monon High Bridge turned into one of the most infamous unsolved murder cases in recent history. The trial of Richard Allen marks the culmination of years of investigation, public speculation, and relentless community efforts to find justice for the two girls. This section delves into the background of the case, the investigation, and the key elements that led to Allen's arrest. Abby Williams and Libby German were best friends. On February 13, 2017, they set out for a hike along the Monon High Bridge Trail, a picturesque yet remote trail that was popular among locals. Libby's sister dropped the girls off at the trailhead around 1:30 p.m., expecting to pick them up later. However, when the pickup time came and went with no sign of the girls, concern began to spread. The families tried calling the girls' phones and checking with friends, hoping it was a simple miscommunication. But by evening, it became clear that Abby and Libby were missing. The police were notified, and the first search effort began that night, extending late into the early hours of February 14th. Despite the cold night and volunteers combing the area, no trace of the girls was found. The following morning, February 14th, volunteers resumed their search. It was during this search that Pat Brown discovered the bodies of Abby and Libby near Deer Creek, close to the Monon High Bridge. The position of the bodies raised immediate questions, with investigators noting that they were not visible from the water or trail, suggesting that whoever left them there knew the terrain well. The discovery site became a tightly controlled crime scene. Few details were released to the public at the time, which later fueled speculation about what had occurred and who might be responsible. Early reports indicated that the girls had been killed in a brutal manner, with their throats allegedly slit. Investigators also reported that Libby's body was found unclothed while Abby was wearing some of Libby's clothing, adding to the complexity of the scene. In the days and months following the murders, the investigation struggled to gain traction. Early witness accounts and a blurry video taken by Libby on her phone offered some clues. The video, later released to the public, captured a man on the bridge, now known as Bridge Guy, and a chilling voice saying, "Down the hill!" However, despite nationwide attention, investigators were unable to identify the man in the footage or connect him to the crime scene. The investigation faced multiple hurdles. Early suspects were ruled out in several theories, ranging from personal vendettas to possible involvement by strangers, were explored and dismissed. The release of two composite sketches of potential suspects only deepened the confusion as they appeared to depict two different individuals. This inconsistency would later become a contentious point in the trial. For years, the case remained cold, with few significant developments. Law enforcement maintained that they had evidence they could not release to the public, fueling frustration among the community and those following the case. As time passed, the question of whether justice would ever be served loomed over Delphi. In 2022, a breakthrough occurred when Richard Allen, a pharmacy technician from Delphi, was arrested and charged with the murders. Allen was a longtime resident of Delphi, living just a few miles from the trail. What stunned the public was that Allen had never been on the radar during the initial investigation. He was seemingly an ordinary, unremarkable individual with no known history of violent behavior. The arrest was based in part on a forensic link, an unspent bullet found at the crime scene that matched a gun owned by Allen. The prosecution argued that Allen used this gun to intimidate the girls, forcing them down the hill to the creek where they were killed. The discovery of the bullet, combined with Allen's presence in the area on the day of the murders, formed the backbone of the state's case. However, the defense immediately contested the reliability of this evidence. They pointed out that no direct DNA link tied Allen to the crime scene and argued that the investigation had overlooked other suspects. The defense also highlighted inconsistencies in the timeline, such as the claim that someone else had handled the girl's phone after Allen was no longer at the scene. During pretrial motions, Allen's defense team introduced an unexpected element, Odinism. They suggested that the crime scene bore elements of this obscure belief system, which could indicate the involvement of others with ritualistic motivations. While the prosecution dismissed this theory as irrelevant, the introduction of Odinism added an unusual twist to an already complex case. The judge ruled that the sketches of the Bridge Guy would not be admissible during the trial, a decision that disappointed many following the case closely. The defense argued that the sketches only served to confuse the jury, while the prosecution maintained that the jury should focus on the evidence directly linked to Allen. For the residents of Delphi, the murders of Abby and Libby have left a permanent scar. The town, with a population of just over 3,000, was thrust into the national spotlight, becoming synonymous with the unsolved mystery. The families of the victims have been vocal throughout the years, participating in public appeals and staying involved in the search for justice. Becky Patty, Libby's grandmother, became a symbol of resilience for the community, frequently speaking out about the need for answers. The trial of Richard Allen has brought renewed hope to the families, though it has also reopened old wounds. As the trial progresses, the families are grappling with the emotional toll of revisiting the events that took place 7 years ago. The case raises important questions about the challenges of long-term investigations. The delay in arresting Richard Allen underscores the difficulty of building a case. When critical evidence is initially overlooked or misinterpreted, it also highlights the psychological impact on communities and families waiting for justice over an extended period. From a legal perspective, the trial will likely set precedents regarding the use of forensic evidence, especially given the reliance on a single unspent bullet to link Allen to the scene. The defense's strategy, questioning the reliability of the timeline and suggesting alternative suspects, will test the limits of reasonable doubt and the burden of proof in criminal cases. As the trial continues, the jury will face the daunting task of evaluating the evidence presented by both sides. Testimonies from law enforcement officials, forensic experts, and additional search party members are expected to provide further insight into the events of February 13 to 14, 2017. The prosecution will aim to solidify the narrative that Richard Allen is the man responsible for the deaths of Abby and Libby, while the defense will seek to dismantle that narrative by introducing doubt and alternative theories. The trial's outcome will not only determine Allen's fate, but will also shape the future of Delphi. A conviction could bring a measure of closure to the families and the community, while an acquittal would leave many unanswered questions, potentially reigniting public calls for justice. As the courtroom prepares for another week of testimony, one thing is clear: the search for truth is far from over. As we reflect on the events of this trial so far, it's impossible not to feel the weight of 7 years of unanswered questions, grief, and determination. The second day of testimony in the trial of Richard Allen brought moments that were both illuminating and heartbreaking. From former police chief Steve Mullen's recollection of those first frantic hours to Pat Brown's emotional account of finding the bodies, every word delivered in court pulls us deeper into the grim reality that unfolded near the Monon High Bridge. Brown's testimony in particular will likely stay with the jurors long after they leave the courtroom. His haunting words, "At first I thought they were mannequins," capture a moment of profound disbelief. It's a moment that serves as a painful reminder of the tragedy that cut short the lives of two vibrant young girls. The case against Richard Allen is as complex as it is emotional. The prosecution's narrative paints him as the predator who lured Abby and Libby down the hill, while the defense's strategy raises critical questions about the reliability of the evidence and the integrity of the investigation. Was the unspent bullet enough to link Allen definitively to the scene? Did the investigation overlook other possible suspects? Or was the truth hidden in plain sight all along? What stands out most is the psychological toll this trial has taken on everyone involved. Abby and Libby's families have spent years living in the shadow of this tragedy, waiting for justice and holding on to hope. Yet even now, as the trial unfolds, the path forward is not without obstacles. The defense has done its best to chip away at the prosecution's case, raising doubt about key elements such as the timeline and forensic evidence. In a case like this, where every piece of evidence matters, doubt can be a powerful tool. But let's not forget the broader impact of this trial. The town of Delphi has been living with the specter of these murders for far too long. It's not just about finding the person responsible. It's about healing a community that has been torn apart by fear, grief, and uncertainty. A guilty verdict might bring closure, but it will never erase the pain. an acquittal would leave open questions that could haunt this town forever. What motivates someone to commit such a horrific act? If Richard Allen is guilty, what was it that led him to take the lives of two innocent girls? And if he's not guilty, who was responsible? And why has it taken so long to bring them to justice? These are the questions that will weigh heavily on the minds of the jury as they move forward. At the end of the day, justice is not just about a verdict. It's about uncovering the truth, no matter how difficult or complex it may be. This trial is not only a search for accountability, but also a search for meaning, for answers that have eluded everyone for too long. One thing is certain, this case is far from over. As the trial resumes, more evidence will come to light, more witnesses will take the stand, and more questions will arise. The stakes are incredibly high, not just for Richard Allen, but for the entire community of Delphi. Everyone is hoping that, at last, they will get the answers they've been waiting for. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe. Every twist and turn matters, and we'll be here to walk you through it all, step by step. Thank you for listening.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.